T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
Bears are 5-5. It feels like they're about 2-8. It's just a feel of the season. It feels like an utter spectacular failure because they're on a 4-game losing streak. But the reality is they're at 5-5. And all their hopes and dreams are laid out in front of them. The most frustrating element of it is there is nothing that they can do this bye week to improve themselves. They're going to come out of this bye probably in worse condition than they went in, because Akeem Hicks has a hamstring injury. The defense isn't going to be as good if he's not available. And you don't know who your quarterback is if you're going to fix your offense.
And maybe the saddest thing is it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. I appreciate the sentiment expressed by a lot of people, like, well, you need to go back to Mitch now. And there are a lot of things that maybe he got a raw deal and he does this and he does that, and that may be true, and his mobility may be an asset with an offensive line that can't protect the quarterback. But the fact of the matter is, it really doesn't matter when your offensive line is that bad.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What a wondrous and glorious week in store for us in the fine city of Chicago. It's Packers week. I think everybody's fired up for some Bears football. We waited long enough. Time to see the fix. The fix better be in, Mr. David.
Morning, Mully. Happy Monday. Yes, it was definitely Packer week this morning. We wake up on a glorious Monday, and it was Sunday was the best Bears news day in about a month. No doubt about it. No news, good news. They didn't play. They didn't lose. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got fired. Nobody got demoted. And all three NFC North teams lost as the Bears rested, reflected, recharged. Here we go. 6 games to go. It's a sprint to the playoffs. That's the way they have to wake up this morning looking at it, even though it sounds unrealistic maybe. But you look at what happened around the league yesterday, and you have a little hope, a little more than you did probably, you know, when you woke up last Tuesday morning.
Yes. So yesterday, the Packers blow the first half lead, but they force the overtime, but they lose in overtime. 31-28 to the Colts in Indy. And I didn't know this. Did you know this? Aaron Rodgers, 2-8-1 in OT?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, wasn't really his fault. He didn't fumble. That's bizarre.
Yeah, that's surprising.
He didn't fumble. Made that crap up.
I may have made that up. But okay. Here's the thing. Here's the new plan. Force overtime. It's all you got to do, Bears.
Force overtime. That's a tall order, though. I mean, really. Against given the way that offense looked, and we'll get into it later, given the way that offense looked and given the way Aaron Rodgers responds to losses this season, that's going to be a difficult thing to expect. Overtime means that you'd found a way to score as many points as the Packers did in the first 4 quarters. I know how this works. Right. I know the exercise.
Right.
And that's putting a lot of confidence in the offense, Mully. I don't know.
I think you got to go Panthers on their arse. The Panthers, with a backup quarterback, does this sound familiar? They shut out the Lions 20-0. The Lions can't score a point. That's how you do it.
Oh, so who's the Bears equivalent of P.J. Walker then? Is that Tyler Bray? Is that your XFL import? Is that your guy who you don't expect?
Kaiser.
You know what? the Lions, they could give their fans a Thanksgiving present and make them grateful for a coaching change. Can you look at that? How do you do that if you're the Lions, really? How do you go down there and do that?
Hashtag sign Kaiser. That's all you got to do. And the Vikings, as you said, they lost. They lost to the Cowboys. The Cowboys? Yeah. 31-28. That's not good. That makes the Bears look bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I think it shows you how crazy this league is week in and week out. The Cowboys got the Vikings after a letdown, perhaps. I guess that is what they're going to write it, chalk it up to. But they were due. Ezekiel Elliott gets 100 yards. Did you see another one-handed touchdown catch by Adam Thielen, by the way? That
wow.
guy.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Who needs two hands? I got you. The Steelers 10-0 now. 10-0 Steelers.
Yeah. They are having a special season. Mike Tomlin, I thought it was funny that they beat up on the Jaguars. They said earlier in the week they weren't going to be like the Big Ten beating up on the Mid-American Conference. And then he takes a picture after the game with his six Mid-American Conference players on his roster.
Only you were paying close attention.
People who were, are offended by those Mac slights, they notice these things.
Mac Monday, or what is it, Wednesday? Yeah, okay.
Maction.
Action. You got to love it. How about this one? Joe Burrow. Now, we got to get the language right. Not only were the Bengals beaten, but they lost Joe Burrow to a knee injury. And before you even knew what was going on, he tweeted, and I got to get it correct because the verbiage is important. See ya, Y-A, next year. See ya next year. It was a little too happy for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I just thought it was informal.
Yeah, that's Dr. Joe Burrow to you. He's declaring himself out for the season.
Use the Usted form if you're declaring yourself out.
You feel bad for him, though, don't you? He can talk however he wants. You feel bad for the kid. Here he is, having a really strong rookie year. Number one overall pick, all the pressure, all the expectations. And he met so many of them, and then he goes down like that.
Give me the VU form, not the two form in French, if that makes more sense. The Chiefs are now 9-1. They came from behind and beat the Raiders. And I got to tell you, I'm not sure the Raiders could have played better. That was 35-31, and I thought that Carr was fantastic in that game. He played a good, strong football game.
Derek Carr was efficient. He was very good at the right times in the clutch. It's just they left Patrick Mahomes too much time. You kind of never got the sense that the Raiders were actually going to hold on there. The Chiefs, they went into Vegas trying to, make amends for the previous loss to the Raiders. Very entertaining football game. And when you watched some of these games yesterday, you mentioned the Colts and the Packers going into overtime.
Yes.
You watched last night that the Sunday night game, and you saw, the best that NFL offenses have to offer. It definitely makes you think about and remember, unfortunately, how big the gap is between where the Bears are and where a lot of the very good teams are, because that Raiders-Chiefs game, they did whatever they want and they went right up and down the field.
Saturday was fantastic. Saturday was glorious in Evanston because Northwestern knocked off number 10 Wisconsin. It was a hell of a football game, 17-7. The Cats are such a well-balanced team. And they made that quarterback make mistakes, and Northwestern is now number 11 in the AP poll. Number 11.
How about these fighting Reese Davises right here? Huh, Joey Galloway? How about the fighting Reese Davises?
Well, somebody got their Irish up. That happens. Every little thing you say, you better be careful.
You know that Fitz is going to take whatever slight, perceived or real, and turn it into something, and that's what good coaches do, especially in college football. And he took the comments of Joey Galloway and he used them all week as fuel. And good for him, because Northwestern is fun to watch. I mean, they have an aggressive defense, opportunistic. They fly around. They created five takeaways, Mully,
yep.
and they made those things happen. Brandon Joseph is a young safety making all the right plays in the secondary. Patty Fisher flies around like your prototypical Big Ten linebacker. Mike Hankwitz is the guy who is the underrated brains of the outfit. Northwestern, don't look now. You look at who's left.
Final four?
I mean.
Final four.
You cannot ignore that.
I love it.
Right?
And let me tell you something. It's not a slight. It's not a slight to be called Reese Davis. That's an insult, my friend. Flat out insult.
Okay.
How about these fighting Reese Davises right here?
Well, as an athlete, perhaps. He's a very nice man, but as an athlete.
I don't know the man, but I would not want to be called him if I'm a college football player.
Met him a couple of times. He's a very kind man, very considerate young. Yeah. He's a good professional. But, yeah, I think we get the point. He's, you know, that they're not a bunch of Reese Davises. They are athletic. They're strong. They're powerful. They're quick. They're skilled. Peyton Ramsey makes every clutch play and right decision. This is a good football team. There's no question about it.
It's a really good football team, and it's really good to see it. And Fitz is a really good coach, and he's going to use that, no question about it. The Illini took out Nebraska, David. They didn't just beat them. They beat them 41-23. Huge win for Illinois. Good for Lovie.
Yeah, good for Lovie. They were due. They needed a win like that on the road. They hadn't won in Lincoln, I think, since 1924. That's a long drought.
Michigan, three overtimes to beat Rutgers. Michigan, a train wreck. Penn State, 0-5. They lost to Iowa, 41-21, worse than the Illini beat Nebraska. And number two, Ohio State. I'm watching that game. They're up like 42-21, and I'm thinking like, oh, wow. You know, I'm sure Ryan Day knows the point spread, and there's no way they're not going to cover at this point. And lo and behold, they ended up really getting challenged. And Justin Fields, I think the man lost the Heisman Trophy on Saturday, David.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Indiana played very opportunistically defensively. You know, they didn't go away. You saw they kept on coming back, and they weren't intimidated by Ohio State. It wasn't the same atmosphere maybe on the road in those circumstances, but that's a pretty good football team, athletic Indiana more than usual. And Ohio State looked vulnerable. That's why when you start to talk about Northwestern's rise, you wonder how good Ohio State is. You wonder how big and wide that gap is between Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten. Doesn't look as wide as it has been in previous years.
The Bulls signed Garrett Temple, as Kevin told us before we started. 1 year, $5 million deal, and that's just a modest free agent signing, but it's significant because it is the first for the new administration up there and AK's first free agent. Chris Dunn, it turns out they were right about him. He got a 2-year, $10 million deal. It wasn't the kind of money that he would have made staying in Chicago. He went to the Atlanta Hawks. We mentioned Fred Van Vliet. Congratulations to him. Never drafted, but a 4-year, $85 million deal to re-sign with the Raptors, who I guess are the Tampa Raptors now, are they?
Yes. They're going to play. Okay. Yeah, they're going to play in Tampa, Florida this year. That is the plan because of COVID. The NBA... There were 77 free agents that were signed, early free agent moves over the weekend transactions. The Bulls signed the one guy most of their fans had to Google.
Bobby Portis is now a Milwaukee Buck. I don't know if that makes up for the failed trade. The Utah Jazz have Donovan Mitchell. He agreed to the 5-year deal, so it's always good to see that kind of thing. And your guy, Gordon Hayward, wait for it, 4 years. $140 million from the Hornets? Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? I think, averaging $30 million per year. You know me, Mully. I am never going to begrudge, and I'm always going to be happy when a young man makes the most of his Butler education. But that may be one of the dumbest signings that we've seen this year. And I think Gordon Hayward's a fine player. Is he worth that? Are you kidding me?
Maybe over the first 2 years, but definitely not an injured player. You know, the guy struggled in his way. You're trying to get the Utah version of him, and I'm not sure it exists. And I get it. They can't get anybody to go to Charlotte, so you got to pay through the nose, and you want to give LaMelo Ball time to grow up. And I get conceptually the idea, but that's a head scratcher, I think, for anybody.
Yeah, and let's give our buddy Agent Mark Bartleston credit for pulling that one off, because when I say it was not a very smart move, I mean on behalf of
Mark
Charlotte more
job.
Than anything. But you get that deal, you take that deal. I just wonder what they're thinking because of what you said about the injuries. Because of, you know, if you're going to make that kind of money, you better be the reason your team wins. And is that going to be the case down there? They have a very interesting roster now, but I don't know. That was an eye-opener.
We're going to get into Tim Anderson. He talked to Tony La Russa. That's great stuff. The White Sox added three players to the 40-man roster. They picked up a pitcher from Arizona, but they added Tyler Johnson, Given Sheets, and wait for it, Jake Berger to the 40-man roster.
He's back.
Wow, I guess. Someone named some food for him. Rob Manfred has a contract that runs through 2024. But how about this? Bet Online offering 5-to-1 odds that Theo Epstein will be hired as Major League Baseball commissioner by December 31st, 2021.
Yeah, that's too soon, isn't it? That's funny. That's very funny. I just think that's too soon. By the way, happy first day on the job, Jed Hoyer, the new Cubs president.
Yes, we may well hear from him later today, and we'll get into that. We got all these things to talk about. There's a thousand things. It's Packer week. The Pick Six is next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Back at a time earlier this year when the Bears were thought to be a good team, they managed a measly 11 points to the Colts in their first loss of the year. Yesterday, the Green Bay Packers scored 31 in an overtime loss to Indianapolis. What does that say about the way the Bears will have to win on Sunday night?
Yeah, the Bears are going to need to score points. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think Green Bay can score. They've got Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. Now, I think the Bears held the Colts to 19 points in that game. So they are certainly capable of preventing Green Bay from going crazy. I don't like that the Packers lost. I just don't like that the Bears are in a situation where they got a team that's now kind of facing a must-win. I would have preferred the Packers to win, and then maybe you catch them in a spot, but I think they're going to be kind of up and well and alive. But, yeah, the way to beat this team – you're going to have to score 20 points to beat this team. You got to figure out a way to get to over 19. And I'll be very curious to see if the Bears can do it. Not much of a goal, but seems like a hell of a mountain to climb for this offense.
I'm with you in terms of wishing that from the Bears' perspective, the Packers would have won that game instead of coming off a loss because, as Mark Potash points out in the Sun-Times, Aaron Rodgers in his last three games following a loss, he's thrown four touchdowns without an interception in each of those four games. Oops. So that says defensively you're going to have to be at the top of your game. But more importantly, as you point out, offensively, the Bears have got to score points. That's what yesterday's game showed you, is that, you know, the Packers scored 28 in the first two quarters. Now, it also says you have to protect the football. Four turnovers, not going to get it done. I just don't know. I mean, it's only Monday, and there's a lot of practice ahead, and there's a lot of speculation and conversation. But how's this Bears offense going to get to the point where you think it's going to score 28 points? And they might have to score into the 30s to win. So not real optimistic when you watch the way that game was played. Fact is, what that says about the way the Bears will have to win Sunday night, they're going to have to win their way. If they don't, I don't see them winning a shootout with Aaron Rodgers. That's not exactly breaking news.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Green Bay has been turning the ball over quite a bit in the last two games. Can the Bears take advantage of that, and how?
On cue, they have to. You know, with four turnovers against the Colts, you look at the fumbles at kind of bad times, and I just don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to throw you the football. You have to force things, maybe a strip sack fumble, things like that. You have to have a pass rush. You have to harass and tackle the football. You've got to create takeaways like the Colts did. That's a very good defense that bent, didn't break. You have to, you know, take advantage of everything that you have. You have special teams and you have defense, and that is your formula if you're the Chicago Bears. It's the only way you have any chance of going into Lambeau and coming away with a victory.
Yeah, you know, I keep going back to the idea they forced a couple of turnovers and they returned a kickoff for a touchdown and still lost the football game last time out that against the team. That's ugly. That is really bad. It's a bad sign. I thought that once they started getting the takeaways, they might come in bunches. Here's hoping that continues. And you said it. You got to get players on the ball, and you got to get guys taking the ball away. A pass rush would be a glorious thing to see. I don't know that we've seen enough of it this year, and I don't know that we're going to see it without Akeem Hicks on the field, quite frankly.
Pick six! Wow!
With a bye week to think it over, who do you want to start at quarterback for the Bears this week and why?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about it, as all of us obviously have been, and I do believe they should go with Mitch if they can get him up and healthy. First of all, we don't know who's healthy, but I think the reason I want them to go to Mitch, stay with me, is because I don't want them to try to run their scheme. As I was thinking about that game against the Colts, wasn't that the first we heard that, we've got a new starting quarterback, but, you know, we've been together, but I've never called plays for him. So we got to figure out, we just need to sync up, and I'll be calling plays for him. And, I don't think I want that anymore. And I know that Bill Lazor is now going to be calling the plays. To me, if you play Mitch, you basically limit the decisions he has to make. You help Mitch. You try to run the football. You try to get him moving. You try to get him out of the pocket. You try to do things that will play to his strengths and limit the decisions he makes. And I hate to say it because I did watch Kansas City last night, but I'm done with the scheme thing. I'm done with being scheme driven. And I think you got to be kind of quarterback driven and call plays that help this guy win and get away from trying to scheme up a dangerous play on every snap of the ball.
Yeah, I think we're all done with the scheme being the star of this offense. Enough already. You've seen enough evidence to know how foolhardy it would be to invest any hope in that. Look, the Bears are in the midst of a four-game losing streak. They have a bad offensive line. If all things being equal and both quarterbacks are healthy, I think right now you have to go back to Mitch Trubisky. You have to see what you have there. He is a quarterback with more mobility than Nick Foles. That goes without saying. Behind an offensive line that porous, you want somebody that can, you know, prevent sacks. It isn't going to be a statue back there that has more ability to make people miss and keep plays alive with his feet so he can use his arm. That's almost the necessity. And I also think you're looking for a spark. You're in the four-game losing streak. You're in the midst of that sort of pit. And when you're there, you've got to do something to get out of it. And changing quarterbacks, it should be, you know, if it is, you know, everything being equal and you're Nick Foles has not done enough to warrant keeping the job, then certainly if Mitch Trubisky is healthy, then obviously I don't care how you explain it. I don't care what excuse you make. Maybe Nick Foles is still banged up because of that big hit that he took. But if Mitch is healthy, I think you want to pivot back. And you're on a week-to-week basis with either guy, so go back to Trubisky.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
Tim Anderson said he spoke to Tony La Russa and the two have agreed to start at zero with a fresh start. How do you think that will work out given the fact that Anderson informed La Russa he won't be changing the way he plays?
Only time will tell, but I did like it in Scott Merkin's story on MLB.com. He said, quote, "I told him that's something I'd be willing to do. I did tell him I won't change the way I would be playing." Thank you, Tim Anderson. You shouldn't. Don't change. Don't change at all. This is who you are. This is what the fans have embraced. This is working. It's going well. Your career is in the right direction. Don't let whoever manager is change you, and he shouldn't. And I think Tony La Russa might be smart enough to recognize that and realize how special Tim Anderson is when he's playing like that. So, yeah, these are all words, and we're going to have a lot of words up until spring training, up until opening day, up until next season. But I think we're going to be, you know, influenced more by the actions or the inaction. The first time Tim Anderson flips his bat, I think all the cameras will pan to Tony La Russa's face, and I can't wait for that expression. But Tim Anderson should embrace who he is as much as he always has because it's working. So don't try to change anything now.
They might have to wake him up in the dugout before they pan over to him, though.
I don't know where I heard it, but I believe Tony La Russa is a Hall of Fame baseball person, if I'm not mistaken. I want to buy one of those T-shirts. Look, I think a Hall of Fame baseball person should recognize when a guy is when something's working. And Tim Anderson, it's working. Just stay out of his way. Help him if you can, but do not hinder him in any fashion. So I love that Tim Anderson made that effectively clear to one Tony La Russa. So we'll see what happens.
Is that T-shirt on your Christmas list right next to the jersey with La Russa 0.08 La Russa on the back?
Well, I think we need to get the exact number. I would hate to have a .08 find out it was higher. It was 9.
That is a pick six.
All right, we get the facts straight on this program, all right? If Jed Hoyer meets the media later today, as many on the beat expect, what should his main theme or message be in his first public remarks as Cubs president?
I'd like him to get up there like a carnival barker and start selling players. Just start, you know, right away. Just, hey, here we go. I got an auction. And see how that happens. I think Jed's going to – he's going to give you the message that you want to hear, which is all is well. We're all together. Nothing has changed. We'll miss Theo, but we've been prepared and we're moving on, and we have a lot of things we're going to do, and we're going to make this team good, and we're going to win another title. That's got to be his message.
I think he's got to be a little less general than that, Molly. I think he's got to include some of those things, you know, but he's got to also say nobody's untouchable. Everything's on the table. We are in this together, Cubs fans. Trust us, right? Trust that we'll find a way back to the top. Trust that we'll do the right thing and make the right moves, even if that means trading a couple guys who you've become very fond of over the years who might qualify as stars, even if it means struggling this season short term to reestablish and fortify the long-term foundation. Trust us to kind of get you through these tough times that are ahead, because, you know, your party feels for Jed a little bit because there's no obvious path. There's probably a split in what direction the Cubs should go. You've got a fan base conditioned to contending. Ownership obviously affected by the pandemic, ready to tighten the belt a little bit. Look, Landmark tax breaks aside, you sense that the economic realities are going to hit the Cubs and they're going to react and start to pair payroll. That is the kind of concern that he's got to prepare Cub fans for the future. And I think he'll probably try to balance both today, and he'll do it probably pretty well.
Pick six.
What did you think of how Pat Fitzgerald used ESPN analyst Joey Galloway calling his team a bunch of Reese Davises for motivation? And with Ohio State looking vulnerable against Indiana, could 5-0 Northwestern realistically win the Big Ten?
I love that stuff. I know Fitz is corny, and I know Fitz is this and that, and I know every coach finds a perceived slight and magnifies it, but I love that stuff, especially the way that he kind of delivers it with a smirk and a sense of humor, and it was consistent. And when you saw what they released later, this is something they picked up on midweek, and they used it all week, and they wrote it through. And in the locker room, his post-game interview, he alluded to it right away. Northwestern's dangerous. All the kidding aside, and once you get to the core issue, they have a defense that is dangerous. They've got a quarterback that's experienced. They can run the football when they struggle running the football, but they can move it down the field. They've got a difference-making wide receiver. Ramaj Jokio Bowman is very good. 5 takeaways against Wisconsin. Remaining games against Michigan State, Minnesota, Illinois. Molly, this could be a team that plays on December 19th for a chance to make the playoffs against Ohio State. And I don't know how that game would go, but if the Northwestern enters with an 8-0 record, wow!
That's big. Love the Cats. Watch the Cats. Always enjoy the way Fitz coaches. You know, you want to use a bunch of Reese Davises, that's cool. Whatever it takes, whatever your motivation might be, there's nothing wrong with it. So I don't have a problem with it. But I understood what the you know, look, if they end up playing Ohio State, whether anyone wants it or not, the motto will be blue bloods against blue chips. And that's just the reality of a team like Northwestern squaring off against Ohio State in a Big Ten championship game. I would pay top dollar to see it. I would love if that happens. I don't see a scenario in which Northwestern wins that game. I just don't, because of the talent level that you have at Ohio State. Now, these are unprecedented times. Who knows? Maybe there's an infection or something like that. And I hate to say that's the only way Northwestern can win, because that's not what I mean. I just mean their style, everything they do, the way that they are, you're rolling up their sleeves and going to work in a blue-collar fashion. I don't know that works against the blue chippers. I think there's too much talent on Ohio State, and I think they're always going to be in the national championship picture because they're extremely talented, and they got a quarterback that's probably going to be taken number 2 overall when the draft comes. So I think that's the problem. I love the Cats, and I'm a kind of an Ohio State fan too, so I'd love to see that matchup. All right, that will do it for us. Kev Bo, why don't you tell us what's going on in the wide world of sports, and then we'll get to Big Z, Biggs time next.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're the man, and I know that the bye week gave everyone a lot of time to reflect and think and fix and figure out what the Bears are going to do. We don't know who's available yet, or do we?
No, I think availability is probably the first question, or I should probably say questions, that the Bears will need to seek answers to before they get a clearer idea of who's going to be able to potentially play quarterback for them next Sunday night at Lambeau Field. Probably a question for them along the offensive line as well. Hopefully the time off served them well and they can come back with some type of spark offensively, because they certainly are in need of one.
You know, Brad, I'll maintain that it really doesn't matter who plays quarterback if your offensive line doesn't do a better job, and I think that's where the focus should be during this off week. That said, if both guys are healthy, do you agree that it makes sense to go back to give Mitch Trubisky a try now because of his mobility and because you're, hey, let's face it, you're stuck in a four-game losing streak?
Yeah, if both quarterbacks are healthy, I would probably turn to Trubisky at this point, but I don't know if it's because of his mobility. I look at Foles, and he hasn't been good. Foles has struggled when he's under pressure. He's struggled when he's had a clean pocket to deliver the ball. And while the offensive line hasn't played well, I don't think it's the club's number one problem. I firmly believe it starts with the quarterback and the people who want to begin to rebuild the offense along the line are the people who, you know, subscribe to bad quarterback play for decades and decades and decades because it hasn't been prioritized by the Chicago Bears. When you look at Foles and you see some of these missed throws and there's room in the pocket for him to step up. There's time for him to deliver the ball, but he just looks skittish. I think the guy needs some time on the sideline. We don't even know if he's going to be healthy enough to play based off that scary injury that apparently wasn't nearly as bad as it looked at the very end of the Vikings game. And then we don't know where Mitch is at, and we certainly – they'll probably – urge Mitch to be a little cautious out there with shoulder injuries in three consecutive seasons now. Maybe 3 weeks off, sitting out the two games, and then the bye week will be enough for him to heal up from the latest shoulder injury.
And I was saying to David earlier, I think, thinking it through a little bit, it's almost like they're more aware of Mitch's limitations. And maybe they call a game plan to take that into account, which would be a good idea. Because I think that they're so scheme-driven that they're trying to get Foles to do things that he just isn't capable of doing anymore, or maybe never was, or I don't know what's going on. But with Mitch, I think they'll be less scheme-driven and more Mitch-driven, and that's probably a way to succeed.
Well, you look at how they attacked the first couple games of the year, and they were operating from under center more than they were out of shotgun. And that was twofold. That was to help the running game out and to set up some of those things that maybe are strengths for Mitch. I don't know that he's one of the better guys in the league doing it, but he makes him more comfortable than standing in the pocket and throwing the ball, and that's getting him out on bootlegs and rollouts and that type of thing. But they can't turn back to Mitch to go up to Green Bay if he's not ready or doesn't feel he's ready, because he's in a bit of a tough spot here as well.
Right.
He certainly doesn't want to be damaged goods when March rolls around and the NFL is ready to launch into free agency, because he's coming out of contract. So he's got to think about his future. Obviously, a component of that is maybe to put together some solid games and help change the narrative about his time in Chicago somewhat.
How does he balance the fact that he could improve his profile in the final six games of the season potentially versus the implied risk of coming back from an injury that, you know, has been an issue, and you know you're going to be operating behind an offensive line that's unlikely to protect you the way you every quarterback wants to be protected?
Right, and that's a huge question, and we just don't know where he's at physically. When he had what I believe was a similar injury to his right shoulder back during the 2018 season, he missed 2 weeks. He's now had 3 weeks off by virtue of the bye being added on there as well. So if it's sort of the same deal, maybe the timeline is such that he could come back now. But I think that's a real issue for him, because he's got to be smart and consider his future, especially when, you know, it's clear that the Bears don't have him in the future. You know, they declined the fifth-year option in his contract. But I think he's a competitor also. I'm sure he would like to be out there. I believe he feels like he can go out and play better. And the offensive line issue is real, and hopefully he could go out there with confidence and just kind of cut it loose. You don't want him overthinking out there, and you have seen him have a tendency to drop his eyes in the pocket before, even when the rush isn't there. So, yeah, that's definitely part of the equation and an issue for the team as well.
Seems like Roquan Smith, his reputation is rising around the league, and he might be most likely to be a Pro Bowler on that defense, just given the subpar nature of some guys and the difficulty it is for a guy like Akeem Hicks. Akeem is probably the guy they can least afford to lose. And where is he at with that hammy? You see a hamstring like that? I don't know how he plays against Green Bay.
Yeah, if he pulled it good at all, you would have to think that he's probably sidelined more than 2 weeks. And the risk you run when guys have a hamstring is when they feel okay and you get them back out there, then they re-injure it. And then you're talking about potentially missing him for more time. So it's a delicate balance with those soft tissue injuries, especially the hamstrings. And we've seen them before, and the team's done such a good job of avoiding some of the soft tissue injuries that right. people thought could be a significant issue this season. And you saw Minnesota really be able to crank up the running game after he went out in that last game. And you worry that Green Bay, which struggled a little bit to run the ball yesterday with Aaron Jones at Indianapolis, could potentially do the same thing against the Bears. Because if Green Bay can run it on you and throw it on you, good night.
Brad, I said yesterday was the Bears' best news day in a month because they didn't lose and everybody else in the division did. And they didn't get injured and nobody got fired or demoted. When you watched the games yesterday, what was your biggest takeaway, whether it was in the context of the Bears' season or just overall?
Well, certainly late last night, a couple takeaways. Late last night, Kansas City's defense, if you're just looking big picture, was not real impressive out in Las Vegas in that game. It looked like it was defense optional for both teams throughout much of the first half. The Vikings, you know, boy, they thought they were climbing back into the race, and I wouldn't rule them out yet, but when you lose to the Dallas Cowboys yesterday as they did, that's a pretty significant blow to them. And then, you know, one other thought, how about Vic Fangio and the Broncos? When you consider the number of injuries that Denver has been through this season, just absolutely decimated that roster. They've got the Dolphins on an absolute roll coming in a mile high yesterday, and Denver got after them, and the Broncos get a win. And I know the schedule's pretty difficult for the Broncos the rest of the way, but Fangio's got a makeshift crew still playing pretty hard for him.
Lamar Miller was active, but I didn't see a ton of them, but we did see a flash of them. There's a great horse racing note, you know, needed the race. Is this possible that he needed a game? Can he get more into it, or will he be active depending on whether or not the running back is clear?
Well, I think probably David Montgomery's status is the biggest factor in that equation. The question would be, you know, do they want to keep Lamar up or Artavis Pierce, the rookie? And if they've got Pierce doing anything on special teams, that might give the advantage to him. Guys, you guys will believe me. I've got people asking me if the Bears should go poach Jordan Howard off the Eagles practice squad. And I don't think that's a solution to the ground game issues.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't know that there is a solution. They need to poach an offensive lineman. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Good stuff.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
It's our guy, Brad Biggs. Is that the answer, David? Just poach the old – go back to yesterday's hero? Is that the idea?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we can talk later about some ex-Bears who were doing some things to keep their careers alive, but I don't think Jordan Howard is at the top of that list.
We'll ask Tom Thayer how the quarterback offensive line question is connected. We'll do that next. Mullion Hall on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.